జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి మామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్. All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namami Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarini. Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadarini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్. శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ. నాదత్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరదస్ అర్థేష్ విజ్ఞస్వ తేనేనం మహదా ఆదితవయే ముఖ్యం సూరయం తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహామిని కృతే ీశ్వర సత్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ రక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుపేతమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేతి తన్మయతయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితితీర్షతాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య మరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణిదాదృదాననిందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం కనికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणं पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासं हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादीभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविंदपरमानवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजितचक्रशंखं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायं अतिसुंदरमंदहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द सत्यस्य ते सुदृशमात्मनमात्मनून्यं वक्तारमीश विभुदेषु विनानुचक्षे सर्वे विमोहितधिया तव माययेदं ब्रह्मादयस्तनुभृता बहिरर्थभावाहं तस्माद्भवन्तम् अनवद्यमनन्दपारं सर्वज्ञं ईश्वरमकुण्ठविकुण्ठधिष्ण्यम् तस्माद्भवन्तमनवद्यमनन्दपारं सर्वज्ञमीश्वरमकुण्ड विगुण्ठधिष्ण्यम् निर्विन्नधी अहमुहव्रजनाभिदत्तो नारायणं नरसखं शरणं प्रपद्ये. इन् एकादश स्कन्दम् वेन् उद्धव अप्रोच् फस्ट् टैम् एण्ड् टाकिङ्ग् टु कृष्ण हि मेन्शन्ड् दीस् थिङ्ग्स् टु हिम् देट् दिस् इन्सिडेण्ट् वित् Yadu and King Nimi, which we were discussing so far, basically is about the principle of the spiritual master, the Guru Tattvam, as it is called. That's what is discussed here. So, we were saying that our Dattatreya Maharshi mentioned 24 spiritual masters. And in these 24 spiritual masters, we discussed about Mother Earth, Prithvi, then air, Vayu, then Akasham, the space, and then the water. The four material elements we have seen, Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, water, we have seen. Then the last one, which is mentioned here, is Agni, fire. So, Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Avogni. The five material elements, the Dattatreya Maharshi considers them as his spiritual master. In relationship with water, we have seen the last material element we discussed last Sunday. Swachha prakrita snigdho madhurya tirtha bhur nirnam munipunatyupam mitram ikshobas parshagirtanehim. That I have learned this one lesson from water. That water has this natural quality of sweetness. A muni or a yogi or a jnani or a devotee, whoever it may be, he should have that quality like the water. In other words, what he is saying here is സ്വച്ഛപ്രകൃതിസ്നിഗ്ധോ മാധുര്യ തീർത്ഥഭൂ ഒന്നാം. Just like the sweetness of the water, which we experience when we are thirsty, when you drink water, you feel a sweetness for the water. When we say sweetness, what it means is actually when we have that thirst, when the water goes inside, how you feel that satisfaction from drinking the water, which quenches the thirst, that is that is the quality of the water. Only water has that quality. So therefore it said, Svachha prakritida snigdho madhurya snigdha madhurya tirthapurnana prakritidam. Prakritidam means it's by natural for water. And the jnani is also saying, Yathatra Maharshi is also saying, I should have the same quality in me. Whoever comes into contact with me will should develop the, should feel satisfied in my association. Madhurya tirthapurnanam. That I should be fine, I should talk in such a way, it is sweet to listen to everybody. Muni punatyavam mitram yukshobas prashagirtaneihim. Muni, a yogi, is a friend of everyone. He has no specifically love and hate towards anyone. Everybody is equal to him. All these things are spoken in order to develop, how to develop the quality of equality, how to see everyone living entity on an equal platform. That's why it is said, Muni mitram ichobasparshagirtaneihi, that just by seeing me, the Tathagata Maharshi says, seeing him, and ichobasparshagir, or by touching him, or by glorifying him, one should get purified. To such an extent, I should be pure. This is the very underlying principle of spiritual life. Anyone who wants to, who wants to do good to others, first he should become himself pure. It is only after that you can think about purifying others. Unless one is oneself pure, that effect won't be there on anyone. So Muni is saying here, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here, that by seeing me, or by talking about me, or even by touching me, others should also feel the purification. Then after that, we are talking about the fire, the last material element. Tejasvi tapasa deepto durdharsho darabhajanaha sarvabhaksho bhiyukta alma nadate malam agnivad. Tejasvi tapasa deepto durdharsho darabhajanaha. That the quality of the fire is mentioned here, that in this 45th verse, that he should be like fire. Why it should say like that, fire? It is such that one should not be able to go closer to him. Materialist people will find it very difficult to have his association. As soon as they get the association, materialists will find it very difficult in the association of a pure devotee, or a jnani, or a yogi. Why? Durdarsho dharabha janaham sarvabhaksho abhiyukta alma nadate malamagnivad. Because his quality is such that like fire, when any impurity coming into contact with fire, what happens? It gets purified, isn't it? The fire can purify anything. That is the quality of the fire. The fire has this specific quality that it can purify anything in this world. Similarly, a great devotee or a great jnani also, nadate malam agnivad, that just like the stool is purified by the presence of the fire, how the fire burns the whole thing and purify the place, similarly, by the presence of a yogi or a devotee or even a jnani, immediately others should feel the purification. The materialists also will get purified in the association of a jnani. In the association of jnani, the materialistic nature will go away from him. He should get purified. I learned this lesson from fire. The Tathagata Maharshi says here, because generally the materialist tendency is to accumulate everything. The jnani, on the other hand, will not accept anything more than what is necessary. Even he will not carry a pot. He says, my stomach is the pot to carry the food. To such an extent, that detachment from this, not to acquire anything in this world, this quality I have learned, he says, from fire. What is necessary for sustaining this material body, I will accept it. And that too, as much is sufficient for my stomach. I don't want to even accumulate and carry or hoard any food for tomorrow to such an extent that dependence on Krishna is there in the jnani also, in the devotee. And especially while dealing with the householders. The householders, even if they give anything, when the jnani comes into contact with the householders, he will relieve them from their pious and sinful activities both. Both of them will be wiped out by associating with a jnani. Sometimes they will appear as though they are hardcore materialists. But that the important thing is that by associating with them like fire, they will purify especially the householders. That's what he said here. Koji channa kojil spashtam upasya shreyam ichadam bhunte sarvatra datunam dahan praguttara shubham. Kojil channa kojil spashtam upasya shreyam ichadam bhunte sarvatra datunam dahan praguttara shubham. That the fire's nature, we don't know the nature of the fire, do we? The nature of the fire depends on the medium through which the fire manifests. Sometimes what happens is the fire is there, but it is hiding in the medium, like firewood. The fire is there in the wood, but only when it gets an opportunity to burn, it comes out. Similarly, it says here, koji channam kojil spashtam. Sometimes it is covered, sometimes it's manifest completely. Upasya shrayami chadam. That, but it does not make any differentiation, because that whoever comes into contact with fire, immediately it will have its effect on that person. That is no doubt about that. The person gets affected by the fire. So it is said here that the quality of this fire is important, because the jnani also, anyone who comes into contact with him, because of his spiritual purity, that immediately it will have its impact on the person who came into contact with him. I learned this from fire. This is what he says here. Koji channa kojil spashtam upasya shrayam ichadam bhunte sarvatra datrunam bhunte sarvatra datrunam dahan praguttara shubham. That even if he has many sinful activities, this person who has come into contact, all that sinful activities will be burned by the power of the fire. So, in other words, when it is necessary, the knowledge will come out. For example, somebody comes to a jnani and talk to him about his concerns or about his worries. It is at that time that jnani, by virtue of his contact with him, by the purity of that jnani and also by the realizations of that jnani, immediately it will have its impact on the hardcore materialist even. One who is hardcore materialist, even he will be affected by the realizations of the jnani. That is what is important. That sometimes it may appear they are also looking like materialists, but inside, because the spiritual fire is burning, the realization is burning inside, because of that, when someone comes into contact with that person, immediately all his materialistic consciousness changes. Materialistic thoughts goes away from him and he gets purified. Materialistic thoughts means impurity, isn't it? Impurity is in the consciousness. That's what materialistic thoughts means. That goes away immediately and he gets purified by that. That so that is the effect of fire. Svaya srishtamidam sadasallakshanam vibhu pravishtamiyadetatal surubho agnirivaithasim. Fire has no specific form. Depending on what catches fire, it takes that shape, isn't it? Just like firewood, big log of wood or a small piece of wood, whichever form the medium has caught on, accordingly the shape of the fire will be the same thing. Visargadya shmashananda bhava dehasyana almana kalanamiva chandrasya kalena avyaktavarpana. That up to this point now, the five material elements we have discussed, isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether and fire. So out of these five material elements we have seen what the Tatraya Maharshi has learned from each of these material elements. Often, many of us misunderstand our nature is to think, oh, all this is not possible. How do we cultivate all this understanding? And strictly speaking, it is only by Krishna's mercy this will happen. There is no doubt about that. Tolkarunye pravarte. Only by, when Krishna decides that this much, this knowledge, this spiritual realization should come to you, it will come. Otherwise it won't happen. By your own effort, it is difficult. That's why it said Tolkarunye pravarte. Only by Krishna's karunyam or Krishna's mercy, it can happen. Tolkarunye pravarte. Kaiva nahi gurur logavrutte bibhumen sarva kranda bibhumir nahi jaladidadam salchamam shichayayam. That this one important quality we learn from the prithvi, from Mother Earth. What is that? Kaiva nahi gurur logavrutte bibhumen. That that this Mother Earth sarva kranda bibhumir nahi jaladidadam salchamam shichayayam. That whatever happens, Mother Earth will accept it. She will tolerate that. Sarva kranda bibhumir nahi chalati. Whatever that happened, nahi chalati. She will not move. Salchamam shichayayam. That this one important thing I also learned, the Tatraya Maharshi says, from Mother Earth. Suppose if Mother Earth reacts to all our activities, there won't be any life left in this world, isn't it? You can see that how our demoniac activities in this world, Mother Earth tolerates to a very, very large extent. She tolerates it. When it becomes totally unbearable, then it reacts strongly. A materialist will not see these things. He will see only seeing that Mother Earth is there to exploit. But one who has a spiritual understanding of life or who sees the presence of Krishna in other living entities, only he can recognize the importance of the importance of Mother Earth's tolerance. Sarva kranda vibhumir nahi chalati tatam salchamam shichayayam. It is a good teaching by Mother Earth, he said. Salchamam shichayayam. That shiksha, that instructions from Mother Earth, I have taken very seriously. That whatever happens in this world, a yogi or a jnani or a devotee, whoever wants to go back to Krishna, he has to tolerate everything in this world. There is nothing here that should not be, everything should be accepted in that way. Krihniyami sadatva dishaya parijayam aprasaktim samirastha vyaptyatto jalpanam me gagana guruvashal bhadu nirle padacham. That grihniyami shadatva dishaya parijaye aprasaktim samiraha. That whatever from air, I learn this quality, that if I have to come into contact with something, as much as air is not affected by the place where it goes through, whether it goes through the garden or it goes through the garbage, air is not affected. It travels with the air, but after some time air goes away on its own, unaffected by the smell, or good or bad. Grihniyami sadatva drushaya parijayepi aprasaktim samira. That is what I have learned from air. I should also be like that in this world. While living here also, sometimes you may have to come into contact with non-devotees or those who are very materialistic people. And even if that happens, I should not be affected by that like air. That's what I have learned, the Tatraya Maharshi says. Similarly, on the other hand, griniyami sadatvad vishaya parijayebi aprasaktim samiraha. Then, vyaptatvam chalpano me gagana guruvashal badu nirle badajam. Similarly,
while looking at the sky, I understood one important thing. The Dattatreya Maharshi is continuing to walk. While walking, he is looking at the sky and he is saying, Vyaptatvam Chalpanome. Like this, sky is present everywhere. Krishna is present as the soul in every living entity. This is another important realization. Vyaptatvam Chalpanome. That he is present in every living entity as the soul. And that is the only thing I should see in others. Nothing else. I don't want to see the different bodies and different identities. That's all temporary. It is not a permanent thing. What is permanent there is Vyaptatvam Chalpanome. Vyaptatvam Chalpanome. Gagana Guru Vashal Bhadu Nirle Padajam. That like the sky is spread everywhere throughout this creation. Wherever you go, there is space, isn't it? Space is there. When we say sky, come, which is the space. There is no place where there is no space, isn't it? Space is present everywhere. In the same way, Vyaptatvam Chalpanome Gagana Guru Vashal. From the space I have learned that exactly like the space is present everywhere, the presence of Krishna also should be understood. Vyaptatvam Chalpanome Gagana Guru Vashal. Bhadu Nirle Padacham. At the same time, although present everywhere, it is unaffected. Sky is not affected, the space is not affected by anything. Everything, on the other hand, is within the space. Isn't it? Everything is within the space. That's why, while discussing about the space, we mentioned this also, that it is a good lesson to learn from this space. What is that? Vyaptatvam Chalpanome. Like space is everywhere, the soul is everywhere. Everything what is there in this creation is nothing but soul. The soul has transformed into different forms, and that is what we see here. But strictly, there is only one thing, that is the soul. The soul is present everything. Gagana Guru Vashal, therefore he is my spiritual master, says the Dattatreya Maharshi. Bhadu Nirle Padacham. Therefore, I can't, like this, the space does not stick to anything. It doesn't stick with anything. I also should not stick with anything. Important lesson for one who wants to go back to spiritual world. These are things how to develop that vairagyam from this world. Because at the moment, our mind is sticking to so many things, isn't it? All useless things it is sticking to. It's sticking with the body first, sticking with the mind, sticking to intelligence. And then it expands, sticking to the family, family members, society, community, country, this, that, and so many things. All this sticking nature of the mind, it has to come out of it. And that is why Bhagavadam is saying here, the Dattatreya Maharshi accepted mother, the sky, the space as the spiritual master. Akashavam nirmala nirvikalpam, nisima nispandana nirvikaram. Andarbahishunyam anandamadvayam swayambaram brahma kimasti bodhyam. Akasham, akasham means the space. Akashavam nirmalam nirvigalpam. That it is so pure, the space. Nothing affects the space. If you look at the space, nothing affects the space, isn't it? Space is not affected by anything. Akashavam nirmalam nirvigalpam. That is completely pure. There is nothing that affects the space. Nirvikalpam. There is no vikalpam there. Vikalpam means that so many things in this world, what we see is vikalpam. Vikalpam means it comes, it goes. It comes and goes. And this temporary influences does not have any impact on the space. Space is not affected by all that. Space exists. Be unaffected by everything. Sometimes, as I mentioned, the clouds come. They occupy the space. After some time, they go. After some time, they go. The clouds come and they go. Similarly, everything else you can see in this space-wise, that there is no effect at all. It does not bother anymore. Akashavam nirmala nirvigalpam nisimam nispandana nirvigaram. It has not nisimam. It is unlimited. It has no... You have no borders for the space, isn't it? Nasimam. It's the nature of the soul. It has no end. You cannot say this is the end of the soul. You cannot say like just like the space. You cannot put a limit to the space of soul. So soul is spreading everywhere. Nasimam. Nispandana nirvigaram. And in addition to that,
it is nispandanam. The soul does not move. It's motionless. Just like this, just like the space. Space does not move. Only we move. Other articles move. But this soul doesn't move. Nispandanam nirvikaram. There is no impact on the soul in any way. What goes on inside this creation, whatever it may be. Andhara bahishchu vinyam anandam advayam. Important, this is a very important point. Andhar bahishunyam anandam advayam. It is inside, it is outside. When we talk about inside, outside, with reference to the body. Andhar bahishunyam anandam advayam. It is so unlimited. Anandam. Anandam advayam. One without a second. And inside and outside. And if one can cultivate this understanding and he can free himself from this material body, by comparing his own nature as much like the space, then he can also, while living in this body itself, feel the effect of self-realization. Feel the effect of self-realization. That's why it's spoken like that. That right now in this body itself, it is important to realize these things. Not as a information collected and kept it in the head. It should be understood and it should be accepted. That I am like the space. I am like the space. I have nothing to do with this body. I am beyond this body. Body is only a temporary cage which I had to go into. But my pure identity is the soul. So that realization, while living within the body, would help to strengthen one's own understanding of the soul. That's what we were discussing last Sunday also. That if you remember, that the absence of material body should be experienced even while living in this body itself. That's important. You may ask the question, how can you do that? How to do it? The way to do it is following these five spiritual masters. By studying about their nature, by characteristics, one can see the nature of the soul. Dattatreya Maharshi has told us, it is like this, from prithvi, earth, water, air, ether and fire, I have learned all these different things. I have learned all these different things. And if it is like that, the nature of the soul is like that, then what am I doing with this body? That question will automatically come. This is not a body which I would like to have it, because this is not my pure identity. My identity is what Dattatreya Maharshi says there as what prithvi, vayu, akasham, agni, they have shown. Especially the space. The space is my nature. By nature I am like the free to go, free as a soul. And the spiritual nature is different. But when I have fallen into this cage of material body, I have falsely undertook or identified with the characteristics of the material body and start thinking myself as the body. This is what has happened to me. And this has happened to all of us. So, in order that to free ourselves from this very thought of bodily identification, the first thing to understand is that agashavam nirmalam nirvikalpam. Like the space, I am by nature pure, nirmalam nirvikalpam, and there is nothing that can touch me. Nothing can touch me. It is not anything that can disturb me, because I have nothing to do with any of these vikalpam. Vikalpam means this material body is a vikalpam. Mind is a vikalpam. Everything is a vikalpam. All this vikalpam has to go from inside. Akashavam nirmalam nirvikalpam. Then nisimam nispandana nirvikaram. Nisimam. I have unlimited capacity because of my identification with the body and being present in the body. I am always thinking that I am limited to this body. Isn't it? I am always thinking I am limited to this body. I have to go from here to a place A to B. Or always because of the bodily identification, I had to, along with that, so many false realizations had come to me. These are all false realizations, that I only exist here in this body. Somehow, that has gone deeply drilled into my mind. Nisimam nispandanam vigaram. And it is also by nature nispandanam. And it does not have to move anywhere, it's present in everything. Nirvigaram. Nothing can disturb my soul. Soul cannot be disturbed by anything. Soul is pure, always, free from all kinds of vikalpam. All kinds of vikalpam. So this realization has come to me from the sky, says our ദത്താത്രേയ മഹർഷി. യു കെൻ സീ ഇൻ ദ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ സ്പോക്കൺ ഓൺലി വിത്ത് വൺ ഇന്റൻഷൻ ദാറ്റ് വി കോട്ട് അപ്പ് ഇൻ ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി ഈവൻ വെൻ വി കം ടു സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് അവർ അപ്രോച്ച് ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് ഈസ് വെരി മച്ച് സെന്റേർഡ് അറൌണ്ട് ദ ബോഡി ദിസ് ഡസ് നോട്ട് ഗോ എവേ ഇറ്റ് കീപ്സ് ഓൺ കമ്മിങ് ബാക്ക് ടു അസ് യു കെൻ സീ that when we because this realization is lacking in us this lack realization is lacking in us that we are not this body when we come to spiritual life also we want to do things in such a way which is centered around our body isn't it that doesn't go away easily it will follow us like a shadow all the time even when we take to spiritual life we want to identify with something some group somewhere in some form and want to feel some satisfaction from that I am with that group or this group but spiritual life has nothing to do with all these things this is all the ignorance in us that is coming out again and again in some form and we feeling taking again shelter of those ignorant ideas Dattatreya Maharshi is saying to us that even while practicing spiritual life if one is not conscious of these things what will happen is he won't go further he will be stuck in that place you'll be stuck in that place very much so this is the important thing just like you can see here this is a big subject if you open up this topic it is not going to be very easy for people to accept it because of the way they are used to doing things in life or the influence of the society that's what it matters to them but when it comes to spiritual life those things have no significance at all that is the main thing in the bhakti process also if you are not careful we will develop all kinds of foolish understanding about bhakti foolish understanding of bhakti just like we must remember here one thing just to tell you an example a master had two servants out of these two servants one servant will sit with the master and always glorify him telling him how wonderful you are such a nice master always speaking to him in such a way very pleasing way he will sit with him another servant he would not even go and disturb the master will carry on doing things what the master has spoken as important the master says something very important in life the person who listens to it and he takes that as his message and practices in it live in his life without going and disturbing the master this is the second servant now out of these two servants who will please the master more it should be the second one what normally happens is if the master is stupid he will accept the first one isn't it but if the master is intelligent he will see that the second servant has actually understood what he is saying and is following it this is the same thing in spiritual life also in bhakti process krishna is saying so many things to us the devotees are telling us I'm talking about devotees means the personalities in the shrimad bhagavatam starting from kunti devi onwards Kunti Devi, Bhishma Pitamaha, and further than that, if you come to the third canto, Sri Narada Maharshi, Lord Brahma, and then fourth canto, Lord Shiva, Sri Parvati, and after that, Dhruva Maharaj, then if you go Prudhu Maharaj, like this, completely you can list all the devotees in the Bhagavatam. You can list them all, isn't it? One after the other, you can list them in each canto. And those devotees, they have spoken about their connections with Krishna the relationship with Krishna but if you ignore all these things and think that I will go to temple every morning I'll attend mangalarati I'll chant all my rounds and I will take only prasadam I will only go associate with devotees and I'll keep on doing this all my life but I won't care for anything what is written in the Shrimad Bhagavatam If I take that attitude, I am like the first one, the first servant. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the knowledge and the bhakti what Krishna will like us to accept, understand first. before doing anything else. Even while people have this misunderstanding, so many people, especially in the Hindu community, it is like that. We've trained our mind like that. That we go to the temple, oh, I have to go to the temple, put some money in the hundi, pay my obeisances to the deity and I walk away. I've done my part. This is not what the temple is for. Krishna prefers something who listens what he is saying to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That is the second personality, the second servant we are referring to. Not that it's go to just to the temple, put some money and pay your obeisances, I've done my part, now I'll do my thing and you do your thing. And that's the way we have developed ourselves. And this is a very, very, very pragritam. Pragritam means very coarse understanding of life, spiritual life. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there. When Kunti Devi met Krishna, how did Kunti Devi speak to Krishna? Take it and read it yourself and you can see. Namasye purusham tvadyam ishwaram prakrite param alakshyam sarvabhudanam andar bahiravastidam. This one important point in the Vedic literature is very, very powerful. It's so powerful that you can't see this elsewhere, anywhere else. For example, in the other processes of religion, God is there and I am here. I'll pray to the God. This is the understanding. I'll pray to God for my welfare or provide me with what I need in my life. And after I die, I will go to the heavens or whichever place. It doesn't matter. This is the philosophical understanding in many other religious processes. But Vedic philosophy is saying here that first thing you have to recognize is Krishna is within you. If that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present there in that form, in the deity form in the temple, He is there inside us all the time within us. And till we recognize this and connect ourselves with that relationship, that Mamaivamsho Jivaloge Jivabhuta Sanadana, till that connection is not established, this going to the temple, going elsewhere, going to this holy place, that holy place, that's all remains on the surface. It's all remains, because Krishna has given us this facility that He is within us first, before everywhere else. First He is inside. He is inside. That's why Kunti Devi said to Krishna, Namasye Purusham Tvadyam, I pay my obeisances to that Supreme Lord, Purusha. Ishvara Prakrite Param, who is the Supreme Personality, who controls everything, but Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam Andar Bahiravastidam. Sarvabhudanam Andar Bahiravastidam. In all living entities, inside as well as outside, He is present. To that person, I pay my obeisances, says Kunti Devi. See, just see, even Kunti Devi was able to say this from the very first words in the Kunti Stuti. This is the important point Vedavyasa Maharshi brings out. Look at those personalities, how they saw Krishna. In fact, in those days, Kunti Devi was not going to the temple every day to attend the temple programs. But Kunti Devi's Krishna consciousness was such that she saw that Krishna is the present in every living entity. If this realization does not come, then our spiritual life is considered to be on a very, 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 very basic level. Very, very basic level. We may think very proud of what we are doing. I'm going attending every day. 40 years I've attended Mangalarati every single morning. What has happened? What has happened? Nothing has happened. The 40 years only is the profit. That's all. So this is not important. These are things to bring some these rules and regulations and are set up in such a way to bring us some steadiness in spiritual life. That's all it is. Just by attending Mangalarati doesn't guarantee that you have understood what Krishna is saying. So Krishna's message is something stronger than that. It is much more important to realize what Kunti Devi is saying there. Alakshyam sarvabhudanam andar bahiravastidam. Sarvabhudanam andar bahi avastidam. That is Krishna's position in this world. Sarvabhudana means in all living entities, andar bahir avastidam. Inside, outside, He is present. Kunti Devi realized this.
from the very beginning. Whereas we realized he is only there in the temple room in the deity, nowhere else. After so many years of spiritual life, people are still thinking in that way. And therefore there is not moving, the train is not moving further. They are stuck with this understanding. They are stuck with this understanding. That deity is there, Krishna is there, only we will go there, nowhere else. Other things is not so important. Bhagavatam, not so important. Bhagavad Gita, not important. Only important, I went to the deity room, I had accepted Charanamritam, I took prasadam, whatever it is. Those things are not rejected, but their importance should be understood in the proper way. They itself, they are not the goal of spiritual life. Spiritual life is, if you start moving through Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find what Krishna is repeatedly stressing this through different personalities, that what is our connection with Krishna? What is our connection with Krishna? Alakshyam sarvabhudana amandar bahiravastidam. That he is present inside, he is present outside. He is present inside, he is present outside. So, as we were discussing before, that the living entity has to deal with this material world. We come to this material world. And in this material world, Krishna has created us in such a way that we have the mind, we have the intelligent senses, and the false ego, and the gross body, and inside all of that is the soul, which is activating everything, which is activating everything. Now, what's happening is that we get affected by all the activities of this material world, isn't it? Everything affects us. We are having different experiences all the time. Something or the other comes to us. Sometimes bad, sometimes good. But as you know, that these experiences, when it comes, it is experienced through the mind. We have mentioned this many times before. Mind is the cause of everything. Without the mind, all these experiences have no meaning. The world exists because of the mind. And the happiness and the distress that comes from this world is also experienced by the mind. Experienced by the mind. Only when you become conscious of something through the mind, only become conscious of something through the mind, and it's a mind that is a medium that makes you aware of so many things. Only then you enjoy or suffer. Only then you enjoy or suffer. Just like if somebody has taken a lottery ticket, someone has taken a lottery ticket and he won a huge amount of money. But even he may have won, it may have been announced in the television, in the newspaper, everywhere. But if that information has not come to him, he is unaffected by that, isn't it? He is unaffected by that. Similarly, everything, it is the mind that creates this experience for us. Otherwise, that is the importance of the mind. Mind creates that situation for us that we experience the happiness or distress because of the presence of the mind. Otherwise, it does not matter whether you won the lottery, whether you didn't win the lottery. It didn't matter at all. So, there are so many examples you can, if you analyze yourself, you can come to this understanding. It's not a very difficult thing. Two people went on a pilgrimage to a long distance away from one village. Somehow or the other it so happened, when they reached the final destination, one of them got ill and died. So the second one decided not to go back to the village again. He decided to settle down there. After a year or so, those days there was no proper transport facilities. So somebody was going back to this original village. So he sent a message through them to go and tell both the houses where these two friends had come from to deliver the message that one of them have died and one of them is doing very well. The person who took the message and went back to the village, when he delivered the message, he delivered in the wrong way. The house, the person died, he went and told them that he is doing very well. And the place where the person was living, he went and told them he died. So what happened? The two houses, both of them, they experienced in two different ways. The house where actually the person was living, they were crying. And the person who died, they were feeling very happy that the child is doing very well. What does it all mean? It means that the mind is the thing which is doing everything. You can see. You can see sometimes, it is everyday affair, this is. Everyday affair. the one day when you looked at the website, BBC's website, for the weather conditions, they put the maximum and minimum, isn't it? Every day. So one day, I don't know who has done it, they put the minimum, it says, minimum 16 degrees, maximum 12 degrees. Yes, put it. Minimum 16 degrees, maximum. It was there day for yesterday if you want to look. But they changed it, of course. Somebody must have pointed out the mistake. So it's like that. It's like that. Everything, how it's delivered to you, depend on that. So when you look at it, you think that this can happen always, isn't it? It can always happen. So similarly, everything in this world is because of the presence of the mind, immediately you're affected by that. So those experiences, you cannot do anything about it. They will be keep coming one after the other throughout life. In some form or the other, it will keep coming. But if you train the mind in such a way, on which you have some control on this mind, that mind can accept and get unaffected by anything what's going on, that means we have to work on the mind. We have to work with the mind. That's all you can do. You cannot do anything, but normally our nature is to pray. We say we should pray to Krishna for this, for that. Because we say to Krishna, please sort this out for me, sort that out for me. All our problems in this world. Krishna actually mentions that in the Bhagavatam later on, we'll see what he thinks about them. He says, you go to hell with all your problems. I have nothing to do with you. You have done, gone and done something and the results are coming to you. Now you are coming and asking me, do this, do that for me. So, important thing is here, Namasye Purusham, this is why I'm saying that this realization of Krishna consciousness, if we don't understand the way Kunti Devi, Bhishma Pitamaha and so many other great personalities have spoken, what will happen is, we will train our mind in the other way, just like most of us do, and we'll go to the temple day after day after day with all our list of unlimited problems, and sometimes it comes through that Krishna is not interfering that. It's only because of the karma has been good enough that problem has been resolved. And sometimes we never get resolved and then we blame Krishna for that. Why he hasn't done that? So we give up and we go at that point. So that's not spiritual life. So you can see that when Bhishma Pitamaha was giving up the body, I'm going one by one, some of these devotees, what they spoke. It is important that Krishna came to see Bhishma. Why? Because Bhishma could not move, go to Krishna. Krishna goes to see his devotee. And if you look at the verses in the Bhagavadam, you will see, Almanyalmanamaveshya sondashvasamuparamad. That is how Bhishma leaves the body. Just see that realization. Almani Almanamaveshya sondashvasamuparamad. The last breath from Bhishma Pitamaha's body, what was he doing there? Alpani Alpanam Aveshya. Krishna, the super soul, is standing there. Bhishma Pitamaha, his body goes and merges into that body of Supreme Lord, to the super soul. That's what he has done. Alpani Alpanam Aveshya Sondashvasamubharamad. That the last breath from that body, while leaving the body, this is how he was leaving. Alpani Almanamaveshya Sondashvasamubharamad. So you can see there that they did not think about some god somewhere far away where we have no access at the moment. Krishna may be there in Golokam, Krishna may be there in Vaikuntham, Krishna may be there elsewhere in Vrindavanam. So many places Krishna is present everywhere. But easier than all that to recognize this, that Krishna is inside us first. And if we forget this connection with Krishna and go on seeing Krishna in so many places, not inside, what sort of understanding is that? Almani Almanamaveshya Sondashvasam Uparamad. That this is how Bhishma leaves the body. So as I mentioned before, that this understanding that our mind, which is experiencing the happiness and distress, which is the power source of this mind, where does that get its energy for the mind to work? It comes from the soul, from the super soul. So, if it comes from the super soul, what does it mean? this mind is powered or engine is the super soul. If the mind is controlled or its energy to function is coming from the super soul, the mind has to be the servant of the super soul, isn't it? It's there only because the super soul is there. Otherwise, mind doesn't exist. If it is like that, is it not the duty of the mind, which is the servant of the super soul, to serve the super soul? That's the logic behind it. If I am getting my energy to maintain this, and it is through whom, from by whose mercy, that I am able to appreciate the good, the bad things, or experience this world. If I'm talking about when I say mind, me means the mind, then the duty of the mind is to serve that super soul. Nothing else. It is the super soul who is doing this all the time inside, allowing this mind to see everything, to taste everything, to speak, to hear, to smell, all the senses, everything, all activities inside this body is only happening because the mind is getting its energy from the super soul. If it is like that, is it not the duty of the mind to serve the super soul? But what's happening today is we have ignored that super soul completely and we have gone after the sense objects, thinking that that is what is giving the pleasure to the mind. This is called Maya. Maya is that false understanding coming from that sense objects are giving me happiness. No, sense objects are always there, whether you are there or not. But you are experiencing the happiness or the distress from the sense gratification is only because the super soul is giving that power for mind to experience that. So it is not the sense objects that is important, it is the super soul that is important, from where the power has come to the mind. And therefore, all the great devotees will make this point very clear to Krishna when they see him, or when they get an opportunity to glorify him. This is the first thing they will mention to Krishna. You can take Srimad Bhagavatam and look at everywhere. You'll find this. Only thing, you have to deeply probe into it. It's not just not read through and finish it like that. But you should think, what are they saying? What are these great devotees saying? They are identifying that Krishna is present within us, which is the closest connection with Krishna. Gopis said to Krishna, these gopis even, at one point they turned around and said to Krishna, Nakhalu Gopikanandano Bhavan, you are not a friend of the son of Mother Yashoda. Gopikanandana means Yashoda's son. Nakhalu Gopikanandano Bhavan. This is in the height of their realization. In Gopika Gidam, when you read, devotees will realize this at some point. But if you are not realizing it, the only reason for that is we are giving importance to so many other things. The important thing to realize, we are not taking seriously. We are taking those things which are not of that importance as important thing that is what is keeping us in the spiritual life. Deity worship or other services, they are all what is there. It is only to bring some discipline into life, into spiritual life. Because there is deity worship or the Mangalarati or the Japam or the spiritual masters worship, Guru Puja, and taking prasad, this is only to bring some regulation in life. They are not the end of or the goal of life. They itself, at one point, they will also go away from your life and you will move on to this higher understanding. So if you don't move on to this higher understanding, what is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we are not making any progress. We are stuck with the process. We are stuck with the process. Process is not the goal. The goal is something different. The goal is to realize this relationship with Krishna inside, that self-realization. Nakhalu Gopikanandano Bhavan, you are not the son of Mother Yashoda. Then what is it? Akhila Dehinam Andaralmadrik, you are Andaralma, the super soul of every living entity. Gopis are saying this. Gopis could have very well sat there and collected flowers and did the worship of Krishna's deity, didn't they? They could have done that if they wanted to do that. But in the height of their realizations, they are saying this in the Gobiya Gidam. Vighana Sarti Devi Shogupta Sakhamudeivan Satvadam Kule. That you have come to this world to make us aware that this is the connection with us and you. With us and you. Vigana Sartide Vishwagutaye Sakhamudeivan Satvadam Kule. Nakhalu Dehinam Nakhalu Gopikanandano Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Andaral Madrak. Akhila Dehinam, in all the living entities, you are the soul. You are the soul. And this is the consciousness we have to build up inside. And so long as this does not build up inside, then our spiritual life doesn't go very far. It's stuck in that place. It doesn't move anymore. So, this is from the gopis' side. So, mentioned about Kunti Devi, I mentioned about Bhishma Pitamaha, now the gopis also. Now, let's go back to Dhruva Maharaj, what Dhruva Maharaj said when he saw Krishna first time. When Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna, the first thing he said to Krishna was, Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevaya tyagila shaktidara sudhamna anyamsha hasta charana shravana tukadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. Look at the Dhruva Maharaj's prayers. The first words, if you take Dhruvastuti, Dhruva's prayers in the Bhagavadam, you will see there. Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevayat akila shaktidharat sudhamnaha. That by whose presence, first thing he recognized was, it is by your presence inside me, by the power of which, that I woke up. First thing, I woke up in the morning because you were there to wake me up. This is spiritual understanding of life. When we wake up in the morning, first thing, what do we say? What do we think about? We think, what all bills we have to pay today, isn't it? Or things like that. This is the kind of thoughts what comes to the head. But this is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that recognizing who woke me up this morning from this sleep conditions. Sleeping condition. Who woke me up? That's what Dhruva Maharaj said. Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevayat akila shaktidhara sudhamnah. That whole world is waking up because Krishna is waking up in the morning, waking us up. Therefore, we are waking up. So otherwise, one day, one fine morning, when Krishna decides this doesn't have to wake up anymore, this whole thing will stay as it is. We are dead matter. We have no more energy to wake up anymore. Where is the source of energy? Where is it coming from? The whole material activities begin in the morning. Day and night we are going on doing so many things. Why? Because inside he is giving us that the driver or the engine behind everything. So sanjeevaya tyagila shaktidhara sudhamna, then anyamsha hasta charana shravanam togadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Immediately he said, not only that, he said, when all these things are woken up, and if it is start working, I am able to experience that also. How? Hasta charana shravana tugadin. My hands are functioning. My legs are able to walk. I am able to hear. How does it all work? Because prana namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Because you are inside me as pranam. Therefore it's working. So, when first thing first, when he saw Krishna, Dhruva Maharaj, he did not say, oh Krishna, you look so beautiful, or you're looking so wonderful today, with this peacock feather, and the flute in the hand. All those things secondary. First thing, it is you who has given me this, first to appreciate you, to see this form. Or to even to experience Krishna, in order to experience the senses, you need Krishna's help. Without Krishna giving that understanding, how to appreciate Krishna, how we will understand Krishna? It's not even possible. So therefore, if you see, logically you can see there, that our very existence is dependent on Krishna. Without Krishna inside activating, all these things won't happen inside, isn't it? So that is why in the Bhagavadam, this is what you should study in the Bhagavadam. When you read Bhagavadam, all the glorifications, this one point is given such an importance, so much importance to it. And when you start practicing this in life, that is bhakti. We are mistaking today, if I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and bathe and put my tilak on, I am a bhakta. There's nowhere near to bhakta. Bhakta is different than all these things. This is all false understanding we have acquired from the wrong association also, with the wrong people. That's where it is coming from. Something the society has made it like that, we have taken that for granted. That is nothing to do with bhakti. Nowhere in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita you will find bhakti is discussed in that way. But today, most of us are misunderstood that bhakti means all these things. That I got up at 3 o'clock or I did this, I chanted my 16 rounds, I went to Mangalarati, attended the Mangalarati, attended the Guru Puja, I did the service in the deity. And they are all good. That's there to get you in disciplined life. That's all. But this higher understanding of Krishna is far more important. This is what all the devotees have done. At least let us follow them. The great personalities like Kunti Devi, Bhishma Vidamaha, Pradhu Maharaj, and so many others, if you look all through Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find this one point is what is called bhakti. Bhakti is this thing. Recognizing this first, that it is Krishna who inside as the super soul, I am Krishna's servant. I am Krishna's servant. Because me, the so-called mind today, is experiencing everything because of him being inside and giving that potency to do. This you won't find in any other religious processes. It's only in the Vedic tradition, this is very strong, this understanding. That to recognize this first, that it is Krishna's presence inside that is keeping me going in this world. I exist because Krishna exists inside. Therefore I exist. Otherwise not. Whereas many other places you will see, God exists, I exist here. When I finish this, I'll go to God. And I'll ask God whatever I want, God will give me. If he doesn't give me, then I'll have to leave him. If he gives me, I'll accept him. This is how the modern religions work. The religion has gone in that level. But that is not Vedic understanding. Acharyas, the great sages, from the very early days, they have seen this connection with Krishna. That is more important than any other thing in this world. Any other thing in this world. So, you will see that bhakti process, this recognition is the one that begins in bhakti first. It begins in bhakti first. We are very closely connected with Krishna. We can't wipe that off. We can't wipe that off. So I mentioned before, in a marriage, the priest gets married the boy and the girl. Isn't it? The priest gets married the boy and the girl. After some time, they'll forget. They will fall in love each other. But they will forget about the priest. They may not even remember who did that. After 20, 30 years, they'll forget. They'll think, oh, we paid the dakshina and finished with him. He has gone. Forget about him. That's all you'll think. But here, the important thing is that they have made a connection each other. They have made a connection each other. Similarly, in our spiritual life also, this connection with Krishna is an important thing. It is this connection that has to grow in spiritual life, not anything else. You may do many wonderful things in this world, but if this connection is not growing with the super soul, then you're not growing spiritually. This is the point. You're not growing spiritually. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice this in every single prayer. When Kapila Vasudev, because that is where Bhakti Yogam was discussed in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, isn't it? In the third canto, Bhagavatam has got Jnanam, Bhakti, these two. These are the two major topics discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnanam and Bhakti. Ekadasha Skandam, to a large degree, is Jnanam and Bhakti combined. And as you can see, if you keep looking at the way Bhagavatam is progressing, from Canto 1 to Canto 11, you will notice that in the beginning of Bhagavatam, a lot of things were discussed about creation, about the history of this planet, Sargam, Visargam, the history of Swayambhu Manus ruling the planet, different incarnations. So many things were discussed in the beginning. But as you go further and further and further, when you come to Canto 11, you can see Krishna has put a stop to all that. All now, Krishna has got to discuss only one thing. That's the soul. Nothing else. Filtering around. Filters out everything. What is not necessary anymore. That's all finished. That understanding of, in the beginning when one comes to spiritual life, he wants to know about the creation, isn't it? Where did all this world come from? What's the history behind this creation? When did this start? When is it going to come to an end? This kind of questions will come in a person's mind. It is quite natural when it comes to spiritual life. That's what we do. We check with all the different religious processes, what Bible has to say, what Quran has to say, what Bhagavad Gita has to say, and then we start comparing them and we checking it out whether it is correct or not. All these things what we do. But the important thing to remember, they itself is not the goal of spiritual life. They are there to tell us something so that our inquisitiveness is satisfied or fulfilled. That's all. They are not the important thing. So therefore, all those things are spoken in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And they are finished there. We talked about in third canto, you will see the process of creation and all that we discussed. So in the same third canto, the first opportunity came for Krishna's appearance as Kapila Vasudev, isn't it? Kapila Vasudev. He came as Kapila Vasudev. So when Kapila Vasudev got this opportunity to talk to his mother, Devahuti Devi, which we have seen before, Kardama Prajavati married Devahuti Devi, and 9 girls were born from that marriage, and eventually Krishna himself came as Kapila Vasudev and instructed the Sankhya Yoga process to Devahuti Devi. Kardama Prajapati took sannyasam and left and went to the forest. Because by now, you can imagine, he had 9 daughters and this son. When the son was born, the father decided to leave. Didn't want to stay home anymore. Because by now, the realizations were complete inside. He was actually prepared to go back to the spiritual world. So he went to the forest, practiced the yoga systems and burned his body and left. You will see that in the Bhagavatam if you read the third canto. At the same time, mother was thinking that what's my duty now? So father, the Kadam Prajavati said to Devahuti Devi, now that Kapila Vasudev has come, he will instruct you on the process what you should follow now. She was expecting this from Kardama Prajapati, but Kardama Prajapati said, Kapila Vasudev will do that. And Kapila Vasudev is Krishna himself, who has come as Kapila Vasudev. And you see an interesting thing here. Krishna is coming to your house, and father is walking out from there. You are going to the forest in search of somebody who has come to your house, and is walking away from there. Why? Why is that? The thing is this, that because the knowledge and the realization of the Kardama Prajapati was such that Kapila Vasudev told him, once you leave home or you have made up your mind to take sannyas, but if you decide to stay back here, by some reason, if you get attached again to this world, it will not be a good thing. So, if your understanding and realization is perfect, it's not only me here in this house. You have to realize me elsewhere, as well in all other living entities. Just seeing me here in the house and thinking that, oh, God is with me now, why do I have to go looking for Him elsewhere? That's not what Krishna wants from a devotee. Krishna wants us to come up in our own spiritual position and to realize the presence of Krishna in every living entity. That is important. Because it is through that we go up. And this mind, which is attached to the material life and material objects, will break away that connection, get purified, and realize that what exists is Krishna in this world. The super soul's presence in this whole creation. So therefore he advised Kardama Prajapati to leave home and go to the forest and continue the spiritual activities there. And he left. So this Kardama Prajapati's departure, it is after that what is known as Kapilam. Kapilam was spoken. Kapilam means the Kapila Vasudev's philosophy of Sankhyam. Sankhyam is a philosophy which was existing before, but due to the influence of time, it got lost. So in order to rekindle the whole thing, the philosophy, Krishna came as Kapila Vasudev and spoke to Devahuti Devi in 8 chapters in the Bhagavatam, beginning with chapter 25 to 33. So in 8 chapters, Kapila Vasudev instructed Devahuti Devi. And this is a famous part of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see that also. Srila Prabhupada prepared a separate book on that. If you remember, that is known as the Teachings of Lord Kapila. Isn't it? Like Kunti Devi's prayer, similarly Teachings of Lord Kapila. Why? Because it is one of the most important part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And not only that, if you study that book, you will also get a glimpse of what is bhakti. What we think as bhakti is not bhakti in the eyes of Kapila Vasudev. So before we go in Ekadasya Skandam further, these things should be very clearly grounded. We should be grounded in our mind, should be well grounded on these things. Otherwise what will happen is, we will be studying Ekadasham and thinking, all this is something for somebody else. For me, I'll do what I am doing still. I'll still go to the temple every morning. And I'll do what I am doing there. And I'm properly situated. And one day, when the death comes, Krishna will take me back to the spiritual world. Krishna says no. There is nowhere Krishna says in the Bhagavadam that I will come and take you. That because you have attended all the Mangalardis. There is nowhere mentioned like that. And that cannot happen also, because this purification process, what we have to do now, is to change this understanding what we have, this mind which has been affected by the material life and material consciousness. It has to come back to its spiritual consciousness. And therefore, we'll just look at some of those verses in the chapter 29, in the third canto, which will, what did Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi? Because if you read those prayers, then these doubts will go away from the mind. Sometimes you hear this, people's mind disturbing them very much. Oh, I couldn't go to the temple today. Why? And it's disturbing him. I couldn't do it. Oh, I couldn't go because I'm working. I couldn't go. Krishna is present there within the heart. You're not caring for him. You're worried about the marble form in the temple more than the spiritual form inside. That you are not able. This is our position. So in the chapter 29, if you look, you will see there that there Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi that he says here. I'll take from only those verses which are Kapila Vasudev's very very valuable instructions to Devahuti. He says here that in 7 verses. Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti like this. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma vastidasada tamavajnayama martya kurude archa vidambanam. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avastidasada. First thing says to Devahuti to the mother. Mother, understand this first thing. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu. In every living entity, Bhudalma avastida sadam, that I am present there in every living entity. Bhudalma avastida sadam. All the time I am present in every living entity. Bhudalma aham sada sarveshu bhudeshu avastida. That is my connection with the world. Krishna's connection with the world is like that. I am present in every living entity. In all living entities, all the time, I am situated within them as a super soul. Then, tam mam avajnaya martya, one who ignores that, me, who is present in everyone, archa vidam venam kurude, he goes and worship me in the deity form. He says, he goes and worships me in the deity form. He is called Mutha. That's the word Krishna is using there. Kapila Vasudev is saying there, Tamat avajnayamam martya kurude archa vidambanam. He has ignored me. I am there with him. And he has completely ignored me. On the other hand, he is thinking, I am only present in the deity. That's where he gives importance. If on the other hand, if you give importance to this, that he is present in all the living entities as a super soul, Krishna says, start that connection first. Worship in that way. First begin with that. That an ignorant person will go and worship the deity only. യോമാം സർവേഷു ഭൂതേഷു സന്തമാത്മനമീശ്വരം ഹിത്വാ മാം ഭജതേ മൗഢ്യാ ഭസ്മന്യേവ ജുഹോതിസാം. സർവേഷു ഭൂതേഷു സന്തം ഈശ്വരം മാം ഹിത്വാ മൗഢ്യാ. ഓൾവേസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ എവ്രി വൺ ആസ് എ സോൾ ആൻഡ് എ സൂപ്പർ സോൾ ഇൻ എവ്രി വൺ. ഐ എം ലിവിംഗ് ലൈക് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ എവ്രി വൺ ആൻഡ് ഹി ഇഗ്നോർസ് മീ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ഹിസ് മൂഢത്വം. മൂഢത്വം മീൻസ് സ്റ്റുപ്പിഡിറ്റി. ഹിസ് സ്റ്റുപ്പിഡിറ്റി, ഹി ഇഗ്നോർസ് മീ. ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഹി ഡു? ഹി സിംപ്ലി കീപ് ഓൺ വർഷിപ്പിംഗ് മീ ഇൻ ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി. കൃഷ്ണൻ ഡസന്റ് ലൈക്ക് ഇറ്റ് വെൻ വി ഡു ദാറ്റ്. ഈവൻ വെൻ വി ഗോ ആൻഡ് സീ ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി, ദിസ് കൺസെപ്ഷൻ ഷുഡ് ബി വെരി ക്ലിയർ ഇൻ അവർ ഹെഡ്. ഇൻ എവ്രി വൺ എൽസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ദയർ. Just by seeing in the deity and thinking that this is Krishna, nowhere else he is there. This is Krishna calls us Mutatvam. Yom Sarveshu Bhudeshu Sondam Sandam Ishwaram Mam Hitva Maudhyad Bajade Basmani Eva Juhodim. Such a person, Krishna says here, Bajade Basmani Eva Juhodi, that he is performing his spiritual life in such a way, just like when you perform sacrifices. When you perform sacrifices, what do? You offer into the fire, isn't it? But instead of offering into the fire, if you offer everything into the ashes, what will happen? Krishna says, it won't have any benefit of offering into the fire. Fire sacrifice means you should offer everything into the fire. But instead of offering into the fire, if you offer into the ashes everything, it is similar to that what we are doing. That's what Kamala Vasudev says here. That not recognizing Krishna's presence in other living entities, not caring for others, simply thinking Krishna is only present in the deity, and continue day after day worshipping the deity without this understanding, Krishna says it is similar to that. Once we have recognized Krishna's presence in other living entities, then what will happen? Then you can't anymore take any enmity towards another living entity, isn't it? You can't do any fault to others. You can't do anything which will disturb them, which will disturb their mind. This will naturally happen. This is what does it mean? This is what Krishna wants us. This is spiritual life. This is bhakti, in other words. This is what Kapila Vasudeva calls it as bhakti. Kapila Vasudeva is not saying anywhere that if you go to the temple every morning, you are a devotee. No. That's the secondary thing. This is the primary thing. So, yomam sarveshu bhudeshu sandam atmanam ishwaram hitva amam bhajadema udhyal vasmanyeva juhodisam dvishada paragayemam മാനിനോ ഭിന്നദർശിനാഹ ഭൂതേഷു ബദ്ധവൈരസ്യ ന മനഃശാന്തി മൃച്ഛതി. ദിസ് ഈസ് അനദർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് തിങ്. കപിലവാസുദേവ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ, ദോസ് ഹു പ്രാക്ടീസ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ, ഇൻ വിച്ച് വേ, ജസ്റ്റ് ഓൺലി കൺസേൺഡ് അബൌട്ട് ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി ഇൻ ദ ടെമ്പിൾ, ഓർ ഹി വിൽ പിക്ക് ആൻഡ് ചൂസ് സം പീപ്പിൾ ഇൻ ദി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഇൻ അമംഗ് ദി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഹി ഈസ് മൈ ഫ്രണ്ട് സോ ഐ വിൽ വർക്ക് വിത്ത് ഹിം, ഹി ഈസ് മൈ എനിമി ബിക്കോസ് ഹി ഡസന്റ് ഡു വാട്ട് ഐ ടെൽ ഹിം ടു ഡു. Like this, he builds up all foolish understanding inside. And he starts deciding, I will work with only a small group of people. Together we can make it, as they say. Isn't it? Together we can do it. So, this mentality comes there. This together we can make it doesn't work with Krishna. Together you can make it. Money you can make it, yes. But you can't get Krishna with that attitude. If you are looking for spiritual life, you have to follow what Krishna is saying here. Yes, together we can make it with everyone, not otherwise. Unfortunately, because this knowledge is lacking in the mind of some of the so-called devotees also, they are able to separate people easily and put a wedge between them and saying this, you are with us, you are against us, like President Bush says. So, the same thing comes to us. Where is this? This is ignorance, nothing but ignorance. This is not spiritual life. And we fall into this trap. We think this is spiritual life. How can this be spiritual life? Spiritual life is all the great devotees, great acharyas, they have told us only one thing. Krishna exists. and he exists in everyone. If it is like that, how can you break them? How can you separate them out? How can you tell them that you are a devotee, you are not a devotee? They are all Krishna's part and parcel. And this realization is not coming. No matter what you tell them, bang your head against the wall. It doesn't happen. And they are so feeling, so proud of their spiritual life. This is a sad story of this world. And institution after institution is suffering from this disease. Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out to us, Dushada paragayemam maninam bhinnadarshinaha. One who is seeing different bodies and seeing that each body is different, bhinnadarshina, and seeing that they are this, they are this is Hindu, this is Christian, this is Muslim. Where is this ignorance going to end? If this is what spiritual life has to offer, then it's, we may as well pack up and go home than doing this. There's much more better things to do in this world. So these verses are Dushada paragayema manino bhinnadarshinaha. Krishna is condemning this so strongly here. Dushada paragayema manino bhinnadarshinaha. You are seeing this variegatedness in each living entity. Paragayemam dushada manina bhinnadarshina. Bhudeshu baddha vairasya mana shandim na hrichyati. He is one who is offends everyone in all other bodies, thinking that he is not my friend or he is my friend, and thinking like this and always identifying with his own body and always distinguishing people like that and creating enmity with each other living entities. Krishna says his mind na mana shanti mruchyati. He will never have any peace in life. Krishna has given that strong condemnation in the third canto itself. Dushada paragaye mam manino bhinna darshinaha. Bhudeshu baddha vairasya na mana shanti mruchyati. He will never have any peace in life because day after day he will be separating people. He is right and he is wrong. He is good and he is bad. He is my friend and he is my enemy. Where is this going to end? So, after that, he says, Ahamuchavajay dravyai kreyolpannayanakhe naivadushya archidorchayam budagramavamaninam. That, although Krishna says here, Ahamuchavajay dravyai kreyolpannayanakham. You may bring the best things in this world to worship my deity. Krishna says, sometimes we say we worship the deity with so opulence, with hundreds of preparations we offer to Krishna. Isn't it? Some festivals, and we tell everyone that such a wonderful feast we had, such a wonderful celebrations we had. Krishna says no value to all that. It's nothing important to Krishna. That's what he's saying here. Arhamuchavajair dravye kreyol pannakhenaha. Why? Naiva dushel archido archayam budagramavamanina. And if those people who are doing all these things, if they do not see my presence in other living entities and respect them, all their so-called worship is useless. All their so-called worship is useless. This is spiritual life. This is bhakti. So bhakti, as we see it, is different than the way Krishna sees bhakti. We have to take what Krishna says, not what others do. That is no value. Their bhakti, what meaning has it got? It goes on day after day like this. Don't get anywhere. But if we want to realize the self, if we want to understand what Krishna has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to follow Krishna's instructions without any change. And that is the only way one can go back home, back to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. That is bhakti. Ahamuchavajair dravyai kriyolpannayanakhe taiva dushyarchidorchayam budagramavamaninam. He goes and insults everyone in this world, saying that, look, I am in charge here, so when you come, you first accept me as the authority, first here, and then you surrender unto me what I tell you to do, you do that. If you follow this kind of spiritual life, it will remain like this. It won't get anywhere. This is the Shastric injunction. This is a Shastric injunction. Bhudagram avamaninam. And if you don't listen, then you are useless. You are not making an advancement, they are saying. If you preach like this, what does it happen? What does it mean, all this? Achala varchaye tavad ishwaram maam sukarmakrat yavanna vedi sukhadi sarva bhude shavastidam. keep repeating the same thing. Sarvabhudeshavastidam. I am present in every living entity. That is the first thing to recognize. Devahuti, to mother, son is saying. Kavilavasudeva is saying to mother, Archada Varchayetavad Ishwaram Mam Sukarmakrat Sarvabhudeshu Avastidam Sukhrdi Yavad Na Veda Tavad Sukarmakrat Ishwaram Mam Archadav Archayet. Before knowing me, who is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, and if you are not accepting me and knowing me in that way, you have to, till you know that, you can do all the other things. You can do all the other things. Like you can worship the deity. You can do all the regulated principles. You can follow the rules and regulations. That should be done. But if you think that that itself is the goal, following the regulative principles and following the temple program alone is the principles, then you won't move very far. This is what he's saying here. That in the beginning, all these things are necessary. Deity worship is not the goal. Deity worship is the process to realize the self at the end. The relationship with connection with Krishna. All other spiritual activities or so-called devotional services are all there to keep us in the path. That's all. But that itself is not the goal. Today what's happening is, many people have misunderstood that if I keep doing this every day after day after day, throughout 50 years, 60 years, if my name is published in the newsletter and everywhere, I've become perfect. You don't become perfect like that. There is very clear wordings here. You become perfect when you realize Krishna the way Krishna wants us to realize Him. That is Krishna consciousness. That is bhakti. Otherwise, we'll keep on doing. This is all mental concoctions. That's come from somewhere. Wherever it has come from. And they're so busy, they have no time to hear Krishna's instructions even. They're so absorbed in their service. And this is the point. That Krishna is saying here, that as long as deity worship, other spiritual activities, they all can go on. But don't take that as the goal. That is not the goal. The goal is something different. In order to bring us to this point of realization of Krishna's presence in every living entity, that might help you. That will help you. But if without that, if you can reach, that is fine. There is nobody stopping that from doing that. But the goal is something different than all these things.
Atmanascha varasyabi ya karotyandarodaram tasya bhinnadrisho abhrityo vidhade bhayamulbanam. Then, ya atmanaja varasyabi.
As soon as you start seeing differences between people, that's where the whole problem begins, isn't it?
Atmanoscha parasyabi ya karotyandarodaram tasya bhinnadrisho mrityu ulbanam bhayam vidhade.
That one who is seeing differences between living entities and starts seeing that this is, you can see how we differentiate people in this world, isn't it? In the name of the body, name of the color of the body, in the religion in which you are born, in the language we speak, the food we eat, endless it is, isn't it? Endless, where you can discriminate people. But at the same time, if we start doing this, Krishna says here that for such a person, he will have a fear of death always inside. Because he has cultivated this habit from the very beginning of differentiating people. And that's all he has done throughout life. That's all he has done throughout life. Because there is no knowledge, there is no realization, and they won't accept anything. What Krishna has spoken, what Kapila Vasudeva has spoken, what the great devotees have spoken, none of the great acharyas have acted in that way. All the great personalities, if you look, you can see, I'm talking about the great souls, they will always act on the spiritual platform. They will not come down to our mundane level and start differentiating between Hindu, Muslim, Christian, this, that and the other. Because Vedic philosophy doesn't give that provision anywhere. Anywhere you take Bhagavad Gita, you will find Aham Sarveshu Bhudeshu Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartade Idi Matva Bhajandema Buddha Bhava Samanvidaha. So Krishna is saying here that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Nowhere he wants to give you, leave you in darkness. He is telling us, Aham sarvasya prabhavam. In every living entity, I live there. Matta sarvam pravartade. Everything is working because of me being present inside. Whether it is a Indian or American or a European or African, doesn't matter who it is. He is working in this world because Matta sarvam pravartade. I am present inside him. If this very basic realization has not come to us, what point is there going and doing deity worship? What is the point in doing deity worship if this realization even hasn't come to us? Just imagine that. Iti matva bhajande ma buddha bhava samanvidaha. One who is seeing this, he is intelligent, Krishna says. Because he has got to the right understanding. He has got the right understanding. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, throughout Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we will find the same thing. Sarvasya chaham khadi sanyavishto matva smridir jnanam abohanam cha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham khridi sanyivishto. In everyone's heart, nowhere, Krishna says, I am situated only in the Hindu's heart, or Christian's heart, or Muslim's heart. In everyone's heart, Krishna says, Matta smridir jnanam abohanam jam. Knowledge, forgetfulness and memory, all these things are happening. Why? Because of Krishna's presence inside. So, if it is connection is so close with Krishna, ignoring that link, ignoring that connection, and simply thinking only in the deity, Krishna exists, and I do everything only to please the deity, but not other living entities. What spiritual life is that? Veda ischa sarve ahameva vedyo vedandakrad vedavideva chaham. By all these things, Krishna is saying, by all this knowledge from the Vedic literature, there is only one thing to be known. That is what? Ahameva vedyom. Krishna, the super soul, has to be known in that way. So, as long as we do not follow Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we follow the community and the society and all other people who are misleading, then we will find that we will not make any progress in the spiritual life. Spiritual life comes from the Tathagata Maharshi's lessons are these. The Tathagata Maharshi is saying to us how he is taking spiritual instructions from the material world, from different living entities and from different objects. So, the important thing here is that Krishna recognizes this as the most important realization one should have first. Adhamam, again he continues, Adhamam sarva bhudeshu bhudalmanam kridalayam arhaye danamana abhyam maitreya abhinena jakshusham. That therefore he says, you should worship me, you should please me by worshipping me and respectfully offering things to me who is present in every living entity by friendship and by equal vision. Two things. One, friendship to all the other living entities, and then equal vision towards all the other living entities. Not to put people in boxes and saying he is an advanced devotee, he is a neophyte. Who has given you the freedom? Who has given you the right to do that? Krishna has not given us that right. That is Krishna's decision. Who is neophyte and who is advanced? We put all these things to suit us, and then we start thinking he's so advanced. We say, and the so-called advanced one goes to somewhere else when it suits him. This is our stupidity when we do things. Krishna has not given that freedom to anyone to make the decision. That decision is completely in Krishna's hands. Who is advanced and who is a neophyte? Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalmanam kridalayam arhaye dhanamanabhyam. Krishna says, if you are intelligent, do this. Arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. See, every living entity is equal. And respect me in everyone. That's what you should do. This is what Krishna is saying. But often in spiritual life you can see how much problem we experience in daily life. Even when you try to present these things, they won't accept it. Even when you present these things, they won't accept it. They still want to enforce their understanding on you. Which is very, very, very basic or very preliminary thing. Jiva Shrestam Shrestakya Jivanam Tada Pranapada Shubhi Tada Sachita Pravaras Tada Chendriya Vrtayam. Then Krishna Kapila Vasudev goes on comparing different living entities. Why he is comparing different entities? Depending on that the ones who have got the senses are better than one who doesn't have the senses. One who have got the mind is better and still better. And one who have got the mind and the prana inside circulating is still better. Like that, he continuously goes on. You can reread this chapter 29 in Canto 3. If you read that, these things will become clearer. And it will also make us understand that the one who is wants to do this, what should he do? This will be the question, isn't it? What should he do? In order that such a thing to happen in spiritual life, it is not an easy thing. It is not an easy thing. Because why it's not an easy thing? The reason is, for so many lifetimes, this false understanding we have kept in our head. And even in this lifetime also, from birth onwards, we started going to the temple day after day. I'm talking about those who went to the temple. Those who are not going to the temple, then there's nothing to talk about it. But even those who have gone to the temple, they've always thought, oh, I'm spiritual because I'm going to the temple every day or every Monday or every Sunday, whatever day it is, it doesn't matter. So he has concluded something in his head that he's practicing spiritual life and he feels satisfaction from that. But when you understand from Krishna's point of view, in order that this understanding to come first, this understanding that Krishna's presence in other living entities as the topmost priority in spiritual life, it can only happen when there is satsangam. When there is satsangam. Satsangam means what? Associating with devotees and discussing about Krishna. That is satsangam, not socializing. Socializing is not satsangam. Only when we sit with the devotees and hear especially Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then you can say this understanding will build up inside. Otherwise it won't build up. If you go and see the deity day after day, this will not happen. This can only happen from satsangam. That is why Krishna gives so much importance to satsangam for this reason. That he gives importance. He says people like Sugriva, Bali and Jadayu, Sambhavi and so many other even animals, they have advanced in spiritual life because of satsangam. So much importance Krishna gives to satsang. So you can see satsangam is this, that where you hear about Krishna and Krishna's instructions and understand it in the right way. This will not happen if you attend a kirtan, if you attend an arati, or if you attend anything else, this will not come. This will only come from satsangam. That is why satsangam has been given the highest position in the Srimad Bhagavatam, above even chanting the holy name. Imagine that. Even above chanting the holy name. The chanting the holy name, why is it important? Let's understand that also. If the mind is a servant of the super soul, as we saw before, if the mind is a servant of the super soul, it is the duty of the mind to serve the super soul, Krishna. And that service is chanting the holy name. When we chant Krishna's holy names, actually we are saying to Krishna, I am your servant. I am your servant. I am your servant. To establish us in that understanding, we need to chant the holy name. We need to chant the holy name. As I mentioned before, the mind at the moment is thinking that it is getting the pleasure from the world outside, from the senses and the sense objects. Once we realize the mind is not getting the pleasure from the senses and sense objects, rather it is only because of the presence of the super soul inside that it is experiencing this presence of the world itself. The duty of the mind is not to surrender to the senses and sense objects, rather to the super soul, which means the mind is the servant of the super soul. If the mind is the servant of the super soul, in order to establish that, we have to continuously tell the mind that you are the servant of the super soul, and that is the chanting of the holy name. Nothing more than that. by continuously repeating this holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All these words of Krishna, Rama, Hare, is nothing but establishing us as servants of Krishna. And if we continuously do that, one day this false understanding that I am the servant of Maya, I am the servant of material world, will go from inside. And I will become one day the servant of Krishna, the Super Soul. This is what will happen. By doing this, this is the result. This is why continuously chanting is necessary. It is not a ritual that we have to do in the morning for an hour or two or 16 rounds. No. This is only done for this purpose, to get this mind out from that world which has been accepted. And all the time the mind is got used to that for so long a time that we are finding it difficult now to go away from that understanding. And then we are saying, we have chanted 16 rounds so many years, nothing has happened to me. How will it happen? Because your understanding was all wrong. With the foolish understanding you are chanting the holy name. That itself was wrong. If you have chanted the holy name with this understanding that I am Krishna's servant, I am Krishna's servant, nothing else. I am the only servant, I am my only servant, I am the servant of Krishna, nobody else, not the servant of Maya. That is basically what it means. If that understanding, if we serve, chant the holy name, it will have its impact on the consciousness of us. And slowly you will see that what Krishna has spoken here about seeing the other living entities, also Krishna's presence in those things will manifest in a devotee. So these are processes which has already been established by Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami and all the other great devotees. So our duty is to only follow them, nobody else. They are our guideline. They lay the guidelines for us. So when we were continuously talking about this, we were going back to Ekadasha Skandam now. In the King Yadu and our Dattatreya Maharshi, basically only one thing they have discussed. Although we keep on expanding that to keep a deeper understanding of it, the main issue that is discussed in Ekadasham is one thing. Particularly this Dattatreya Maharshi's conversations with Krishna, with Yadu. What is that? What is Guru Tattvam? How does Guru work? What is Guru and how does Guru work? Through various examples, Dattatreya Maharshi is instructing Yadu, what is the principle of this thing called Guru? Because it's a very often confusing issue for many, many people, isn't it? People take it, we understood all sorts of things about Guru. People are so confused about this thing called Guru that they don't know what to do with it now. It's come to that stage now. What should I do with this thing called Guru? Till now, at least I didn't have that headache, but now that one more headache has come to my spiritual life. It's come to like that now. This is because we are not studying Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why all these problems are coming. We want somebody to do it for us, isn't it? We want somebody else to do it for us. So therefore, there are millions of gurus also in this world to take that role. And there are millions of disciples also. But once you have understood the principle of Guru, what is Guru means and how does Guru work, the principle behind it, which is called Guru Tattvam, which you can see Krishna has spoken in the first verse itself to Uddhava. What did he say there? Atmano Guru Ralmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyaksha Anumana Abhyam Shreyaso Anuvindade. Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Atmano Guru Ralmaiva. First thing Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, see your own soul as the spiritual master to start with. Atmano Guru Ralmaiva. Your own soul is your Guru because that is where it's beginning from. It's only when the soul inside is craving or desiring for spiritual life, it begins inside you. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. When the soul inside desires that the spiritual life is important, this connection with Krishna is important, That's where spiritual life begins. Atmano gurur atmaiva purushasya visheshadam. And I have given this facility only in one body, human body. No other bodies, he says. In no other body, I have given this facility to know about spiritual life and spiritual activities except in the human body. Purushasya visheshada. What else? Pratyaksham anumanabhyam shreyasam anubindade. You can realize this in four processes, he says. Pratyaksham anumanam shreyasam anubindade. You can realize through all this. What means that we have seen that also before by direct perception, then for the deductions from the observation. We talked about all these things before. Pratyaksham anumanam shreyasa anubindade agamam aptokti. These are the four ways through which you can get this realization of the truth, of the realization of the self. Guru, pratyaksha, direct perception, and then inference from observation. You observe from things different inferences, like Dattatreya Maharshi is doing. Some places he is inferring. The Guru's realization is getting from different places through inference. He is observing the sky or for the space, and from the space he is taking these instructions. Space is not going and instructing him. You must notice that. Space is not going and telling Dattatreya Maharshi, look, learn these things from me. He's not saying that. Space is there. Dattatreya Maharshi is, that is Anumanam. This is called Anumanam. He is concluding from his power of observation, this is important for me in my spiritual life. What he has learned from the space. Similarly, what he learned from the water. What he learned from the fire. What he learned from Mother Earth. Like this, he is always learning spiritually. And this is what makes you progressing in spiritual path, not anything else. So, pratyaksham anumanabhyam shreyaso anivindade. Similarly, you can get directly also instructed by somebody. Somebody instructs you directly, which is a very, very rare thing. Or direct experience from spiritual life. Pratyaksham anumanam. Then, agamam, shastram is telling you how to understand this. Shastram is helping you. Like this we talked about now, that this is how you should progress in the spiritual path. Like Kapila Vasudeva instructing Devahuti Devi for our benefit. Krishna is instructing Uddhava for our benefit. Krishna is instructing Arjuna for our benefit. So from Shastram you can get this benefit. So first thing, direct perception, direct instructions. Anumanam by inference. Then Agamam from Shastram. Then aptokti. Aptokti means the words from the realized souls. What they tell us. Like we saw Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj, Akrura, Uddhava, Gopis, Parishit Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, and so many others. Kunti Devi, Bhishma, unlimited number of devotees in the Bhagavadam. They are all aptokti. They experienced it, so they are telling us. Look, go through this way, what I am showing it to you, the way. If we ignore all these, and if we don't study Srimad Bhagavatam, what will we do? We will do what we are doing all these years. Nothing will change. Somebody said to his uncle, don't beat me, I'm not going to change, he said. And we are like that. We don't want to change. We don't want to change, that's what it is. We think we are perfect in what we are doing. And it is this false perception that I am perfect is the problem. And that is why if you see, when Vedavyasa Maharshi presented Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentioned two things there. Do you remember what they are in the second verse itself? Two kinds of people will find it very difficult to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he said. What are they? Dharma projida kaida votra paramo mirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam. Atra vastu shivadam tapatrayo unmulanam. In the second verse in the Bhagavatam you will see, dharma projidam. This dharmam, Bhagavata dharmam, or Krishna consciousness discussed here. Kaidavotra varyamo nirmat saranam sadam. One who has got this mentality that I cannot accept any other instructions from anywhere else. That is called kaidavatvam. Kaidavatvam means, Prabhupada just translated that as cheating. You are cheating yourself by thinking that what I am doing, I know what I am doing. This mentality. thinking that I know what I am doing. I don't need to know what Bhagavadam says or Bhagavad Gita says or any other personality says. I know what I am doing. That mood, it's unfortunate. Sometimes it happens like that. That is called Kaitavatvam. Then, what else? Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Nirmatsaranam. Nirmatsarana means one who has cultivated that mentality, thinking everyone is different and wants to compete with each other. Wants to compete with each other. Always one up. What do they say? One up. Whatever, you know what I'm saying. This attitude in spiritual life. These two people, Krishna Velavya says there, will not understand Srimad Bhagavatam. It is difficult for them. Because already in their mind, they've already concluded that they know everything. And they will act as authorities to everybody else. This is a sad thing. Although, they have not understood anything from Srimad Bhagavatam. What Krishna is saying. Because if they have understood, it should change them, isn't it? But it's not happening. They are acting in their same old donkey style, still continuing doing that. Donkey also is like that. No matter how many times we beat the donkey will still do the same thing. Asses, as they call in the Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Shavidvara hoshtagare samsuda purusha pashu nayal karna katho vedam jadunama gadagrajaha. So such people, if they talk about Krishna consciousness, that is no benefit to anybody. It's neither benefiting them or rather it's misleading others. They should not do that. So here, what we were talking about was that dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam sadam. Kaitavam and nirmatsaram. That is, kaitava buddhi has to go and nirmatsaram nature has to come. I am not here to compete with anyone. Whom is there to compete with? If Krishna is present in every living entity, am I to compete with Krishna again? Or is that what I have to understand from this? So there is no competition in this. The competition has all gone. That's all finished. It's all in ignorance that you compete with others about these things. So, in these discussions between Dattatreya Maharshi and King Yadu, what we have seen there is, this first thing is this Guru Tattvam. And Guru Tattvam, you can only understand this if you keep your heart open. If you keep it closed and not allow anything to get in, then it cannot happen. Guru Tattvam won't happen inside. Guru Tattvam, the principle of understanding the Guru, that is so important that you have to keep your heart open. Otherwise, you may go to the best Acharya, best Guru in the world, it will not have any impact unless you keep your heart open to understand these things. This is what is the main thing here. Look at how Dattatreya Maharshi, he kept his heart open to listen to things, to see things and to think from through that. But unfortunately, in the modern world, when we present spiritual life, often we get to this foolish understanding that I will only hear from such and such a person, he is my guru, and nobody else is qualified to say anything, only what he says is the truth, nothing but the truth. And then after a while, both goes together. So what is the use of, this is not Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy is not like that. Vedic understanding is this, that if the heart is open, the whole world is there to teach you on spiritual life. This is the Atmano Guru Atmaiva. That Tene Brahma Hridaya. He said like this, isn't it? You see, you can understand one thing. Say if you want to test the strength of another person, you ask him to give you a punch. You tell him, you punch me. Let me see how strong you are. He punches you, and then you know you can measure his strength, isn't it? Say two people punch me, I can tell you who is stronger, whose punch was stronger, or who is stronger than. So physical strength you can measure like that, isn't it? Physical strength you can measure like that. Similarly, your intellectual strength also you can measure, isn't it? You can measure your intellectual strength also. Say someone who is very intelligent when I'm talking about intelligence, material intelligence, who may have some way of materialistic thoughts working in such a way that he has developed that power, intellectual power in him. Material intelligence I'm talking about. He develops that into such a degree that he can, probably one can be better than the other. One may have no interest in the the technology or the machinery or anything like that. Another person may have been well versed with that. So we'll say, oh, he's very intelligent, he knows everything. We say like that, isn't it? Somebody who knows some info, he has more information about it than somebody else. So you can put that person in a better level. So intelligence you can measure. Intelligence you can measure. The physical strength you can measure. Isn't it? Physical strength you can measure. Say you want to measure the knowledge of someone in a language, you can do that also. Say for example, say Sanskrit language if you take for example. How deep your understanding of Sanskrit language, that can be understood by talking to somebody and hearing from him the different things if you talk about, you will know where he stands, his realization of the his knowledge of the languages. So all these things you can measure, which is not difficult. And similarly, everything in this world you can measure. But when it comes to spiritual life, Krishna is saying here that this is not something you can measure like that. Why? Because this has happened like the way it has happened to Lord Brahma from Krishna. How did it happen? Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Mukhyandayat Surayaha. In the Bhagavadam, in the beginning, that is how it's spoken. Tene Brahma Hridayam. Sitting inside the heart of Lord Brahma, Krishna illuminated him. Not by his effort. Not by Brahma's effort he got enlightened. Only when Krishna sat there and enlightened him, he got enlightened in spiritually. So there you have no control on this. You have no control on this. So similarly, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also, you have to remember this. I am not going to capture Srimad Bhagavatam from my intelligence, from my hearing power or anything. That is not the criteria at all. The only criteria that has actually helped me to understand Srimad Bhagavatam is that I simply sat there and heard. That's all. I didn't do anything. You don't have to do anything. Simply hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly the words of Sukadeva Goswami, if Krishna has enlightened Lord Brahma in that way, he can enlighten us also. It's not a difficult thing to happen. So, by our intelligence, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, get all the commentaries and get all the translations, purports, everything, and read everything and grasp everything, and you think that you can get Bhagavatam like that, Krishna says, no, it won't happen. Why? Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Muhyandiyat Suraya. When Krishna entered into Brahma's heart and enlightened Brahma in that way, Brahma realized what is Krishna. What is Krishna? Otherwise it is not possible. Even for us, we are also in the same situation. So, always while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't have to do anything else except to come and to hear. That is the process. That is what is called satsangam. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, as Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavatam, and hear from devotees who has also equally endeavored to hear about Krishna, and when that understanding, one day it can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone. It is not that it can only happen. There are a lot of things here to remember. Sometimes we think, this is our mind, not anywhere else. We think that, oh, I have to go through all these things. Only then I will become qualified. We keep saying this, isn't it? Oh, I have to be qualified, Prabhu. I'm not so pure. I'm not qualified yet. Who decides this qualification? Sometimes, in every shastram you will find this. In all the Vedic philosophy, or they call it as sadhana chatushtayam. Sadhana chatushtayam means that certain things one has to do to begin spiritual life, to prepare yourself. For example, discrimination between the temporary and the permanent. We told about this before. Nitya anitya vastu vivegam. Then a detachment from the material world, vairagyam. Then Shamam, Damam, Tiriksha, Uparadhi, Shraddha, Samadhanam. The six different things, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, and tolerance to everything else, keeping the consciousness fixed in spiritual activities, constant remembering, reminding us of that meditation, all these things, and eventually it ends up in Samadhi. Then above all these things, what is called Mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means intense desire for liberation from material life. We told these four things as the very basic qualities needed for someone who comes to spiritual life. We spoke about this before. Now, although it is specified like that in the Shastram, that does not mean that if you have just done this, you will get it. That is not guaranteed. This is the difference in spiritual life. Here in the material life, you do a certain exam, you get your degree, you are qualified for that job, isn't it? Sometimes you will notice in spiritual life, who has got these things also is very difficult to say. Who has got all these qualifications is very difficult to say, who has got all these things. So you may be thinking that, when do I get to that stage of this, what is known as sadhana chatushtayam, the four things needed for the basic qualities for spiritual life. You may start thinking, when do I think I'll have it? After I have that, then I will apply for the next one. This is how we think. In our mind, our conditioned mind thinks like that. It's not like that. Bhagavadam is saying to us this one point. If by hearing Srimad Bhagavadam, somehow, if you have gone up in spiritual life, you have to take it, that person has got all these things. This is how you read it. Not that you judge first, has he got everything, and after I got everything, then I will go for the next one. No, not like that. It's satsangam is like this, that in the association of devotees, when you discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, you never know, these qualifications may be there in you. Without your knowledge, it may be working inside. The mind and the consciousness is a very sophisticated thing. These things are all very much based on the your mind and consciousness. And those things, you can't put mark on it and say that, oh, you have got it, you have not got it. You can't say that. That is why you can't judge anybody in spiritual life also. Sometimes you may think somebody else has not, he is not so detached, he is not so renounced, or he is enjoying his senses. Maybe, he may be. But in his consciousness, there may be something much more powerfully burning inside. Who knows? And he may be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is affecting him much more than all the other things what you are thinking about him. Who knows? How can you say that somebody, you can judge another, and this is the biggest problem in Bhakti Yoga process. We start judging others based on our understanding of philosophy. But on the other hand, in Srimad Bhagavatam it says here, Kapila Vasudeva also says to Devahuti Devi, the moment you start judging others, anyone who gets attracted to Krishna and the knowledge about Krishna and spiritual life, he is never a loser. He may be making progress inside. His realizations must be coming through. And one day, to everyone's surprise, he may be the first one to get back to the spiritual world than those who are standing here and laying the rules for others. And laying down the rules for others. So, in spiritual life, there is no loss at any time. And there is no need for any kind of disappointment. Because honestly, if we execute spiritual life as it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam and as spoken by the by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and also if you follow the footsteps of these great devotees like Kunti Devi, like Bhishma Pitamaha, like Kapila Vasudev, like Dhruva, like Akrura, like Uddhava, you will notice the same thing repeated again and again and again in all their prayers. Only thing, you have to look for it carefully. You will find that they are stressing the importance to certain things, and that you should capture. Once you capture that, you cannot go wrong there anywhere. You are in the right path. But if you capture the words from somebody else who has not even got anywhere himself, And then thinking that this is what the society is doing, let me also do the same thing, what everybody else is doing. Then you could be lost. Whole life could be wasted. A lifetime of waste. That's all. It is. Nothing will be gained from that. Nothing will be gained from that. So, Krishna consciousness is that process where we are constantly scrutinizing our understanding of this world, our relationship with Krishna, and how it is elevating us. And that is what Krishna wants us. Uddhared alpana alpanam alpanam avasadayel. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, I am not too interested what you have got to say. He says, I am not interested. Why? You have to elevate yourself to come out of this darkness, what you have put yourself into. That's why uddhared alpana alpanam, with one's own mind one should elevate oneself. Atmanam avasadayel, atmanyayu atmano bandhu, atmayivabrir atmanam. And if you elevate it like that, this mind is your friend. If you don't do it, that very same mind can be your enemy as well. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this to whom? To Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna this, that the same many mind can be a great help to you, and use it properly, and you can go up in spiritual life. If you ignore that, these instructions of Krishna, and you start thinking that, oh no, I'm going to do it my way, then that way will never happen. You'll be lost in that process. So, we'll stop there today, and we'll continue this. I'm away for next 3 weeks, so hopefully on the 2nd of November, we'll have the next Bhagavatam class. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.